The topic of sanctification, this is a topic that really could take a lot longer to cover, but we're going to try to, in one night, give you an overview of it. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 4. We'll jump right in tonight, and we're going to preach about sanctification. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. We're talking about somebody who's saved. What a problem that would be if somebody that was saved forgot that he was purged from his old sins. So what would it take to grow to the point where you don't get there? Well, the Bible says that you've, in verse number 4, you've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, I mean, that's a wonderful thing, but besides this, you're supposed to add some things to your life. You're supposed to add, with all diligence, you're supposed to add, you have faith to start with, that's your foundation, but you're supposed to add virtue. And then you're supposed to add knowledge to that. Then you add temperance to that. Some people would call that self-control. You add patience to that. You add godliness to that. You add brotherly kindness to that. You add charity to that. Now, God doesn't expect us to do all of that overnight. And this process of becoming more like Christ, this process of adding, is the process of sanctification. I'm going to give you a whole bunch of thoughts tonight. I'm going to give you some notes. You'll be able to fill in those blanks. There's a bunch of Bible verses already there in front of you. Hopefully, it'll help us. We don't have to take the time to turn quite as often, but we will turn to a couple places. So, first of all, here's the question. What is sanctification? It's a big Bible word. What is it? It means to be clean. It means to be set apart for God's use and possession. There's a couple of words there that I want to make sure you got. First of all, it means to be clean. We'll talk about being clean tonight and how to do that. But it also means set apart for God's use. I don't remember who it was that said this, but I saw this quote somewhere. He said, I don't need to worry about making my light shine out there. He said, I'm saved. If I will just keep the glass clean, the Spirit of God will shine through me. One of our challenges as Christians is to keep the glass clean, and that's it's a picture of a lighthouse. We're in New Mexico. We don't have lighthouses, except maybe decorating your bathroom or something like that. I'm not sure. But in other parts of the world, there are lighthouses, and those are there to warm the ships, and they don't use them as much as they used to with other technology, but they're there to warm the ships, that there's rocks and there's cliffs, and if the glass was dirty, then it wouldn't the light wouldn't shine out as far as it should go or as bright as it should go. Our job is to keep the glass clean. Sanctification means to be clean and set apart for God's use and His possession. With that goal in mind, I want to look at a whole bunch of Bible verses tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 is written in your notes. I'm going to read verse 20 as well. The Bible says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. The vessel we're talking about would be like a cup or a bowl, and often it would be something that a potter would make. We'll look at another verse here in just a moment. How many of you have ever seen a potter's wheel? And if I was to say a potter's wheel, you know what I was talking about. The idea was there was a like a round table that spun around, and there was a clay on it, and the wheel would spin, and the potter would use his thumbs and use his hands to make that lump of clay into a vessel. So whenever we say vessel, we're talking about a cup or a bowl, something that can be filled, something that can be used for serving, something that can be used to drink out of, or to hold a liquid or something like that. That's the vessel we're talking about. And we're comparing that vessel to our lives. And the Bible says, in a great house, a mansion maybe, or this big house, there's not only vessels of gold and silver, but there's also vessels of wood and of earth, or clay vessels. And then the Bible says some are to honor and some are to dishonor. Now, the verse that's in your handout says this: if a man therefore purge himself from these, that would be the vessels to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. What's the next word in that verse? Do you see it? Sanctified. So if a man would purge himself from, he's talking about us people as being vessels. All right, so it's not talking about the owner of the great house, the person who lives in the great house, but us as vessels. If we would purge ourselves from the other vessels that are vessels to dishonor, then the Bible says we could be vessels of honor, sanctified and meet, or perfectly fit for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. What is sanctification? Sanctification is separating ourselves from those things that would make us so that we're not fit for the master's work, so that we're not fit for God to use, separating ourselves to God. Sanctification is us cleansing ourselves, allowing God to cleanse us as we live this life, so we're more usable for God's service. That's what we all need. That ought to be all of our goal. The Bible says also in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. He's talking to Jeremiah. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So we see in the story of Jeremiah that God says, Jeremiah, before you were even born, I set you apart. I have a special purpose for you. He said that to Jeremiah. I don't believe that Jeremiah was the only person that was sanctified. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. And He's had that plan for you since before that you were born. But He's got a plan for you to be sanctified, set apart as a vessel to be used for Him. So we are like vessels. God has a purpose, His purpose for you, if you can picture yourself as a cup, just for a moment, okay? I want to be a big one with hot chocolate in it, with the whipped cream on top, like you get at a restaurant. Not like the kind at home. There's something special about restaurant whipped cream, especially those diners. You know, like a greasy spoon kind of diner. They just, something special. Nobody else even seems to care. I'm getting passionate about this hot chocolate with whipped cream. Now, picture yourself as a cup, all right? God has said, He said, you're a vessel. I want to set you apart. And I want you to look at this next verse because it's going to help us understand that. Jeremiah 18:3. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought or made a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So this potter, he's making this cup, but it gets messed up as he's making it. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Just stop there for just a moment. God is saying to Israel here, but He's also saying to us, can't I do to you what the potter did to that clay? If the clay gets messed up, if the clay is marred, if the vessel that is being made turns out to not be like the potter wanted it to be, the potter has the authority and the potter has the ability to smash that clay back down and start over and make it into a vessel unto honor. That is the process of sanctification. I'm going to keep reading here. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. And if you would allow yourself to be clay in God's hand, and whenever He wants to remake you, let Him remake you. We sing that song, Mold Me. Let's see, how does that go? Squish Me. No, I don't think the squish is in there. Break is in there. Mold is in there. Make is in there. But I don't remember which one goes first. Somebody just tell me. It's bugging me. Break me. take me, mold me, make me. I knew they rhymed. I just forgot squish wasn't one of them. I knew that they were in there. So as the clay, we need to allow God to reach into our lives and take us, break us, mold us, and make us. That is the process of sanctification, and that's what we're preaching about tonight. I just want you to understand it, and then we're going to talk about how. Sanctification is the process God uses to make you into a better vessel. We are marred vessels. I don't think any of us needs to have anybody convince us of that. I am a marred vessel. I'm not what I ought to be. We need the hand of God to sanctify us. And in order to make us into a better vessel, God has to smash the old vessel, but the new vessel will be better. Because we are in God's hands. John Newton, he's the one that wrote Amazing Grace. He was the one that, he did write Amazing Grace, right? Okay. I'm not doing good tonight, so I just want to make sure I'm giving you accurate facts. John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, also the one who was the slave trader before that. Here's what he said. I am not what I might be. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I am not what I hope to be. But I thank God I am not what I once was. And I can say with the great apostle, by the grace of God, I am what I am. What an amazing testimony. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be. But I'm not what I once was. Why? The process of sanctification. God wants to change you into something better. What is sanctification? It means to be clean and set apart for God's use and possession. Sanctification is also God's solution to man's sinful nature. Did you get that? God's solution to man's sinful nature. We have a sinful nature. Left to ourselves, we will sin. As sparks fly upward, so man is born to, what's that word? Trouble. I'm not sure about a woman, but man is born to trouble. Now, we know that we all are. We're all sinners. Nobody has to convince us of that. And because of our sinful nature, God put in place something that he calls sanctification to help us to become a person that can be clean and set apart for his use. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the Bible says this, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God," look at this phrase, "your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." God wants our spirit, our soul, and our body to be blameless. He works toward that goal through the process of sanctification. Our spirit, as it communicates with God's spirit, generally isn't the problem. Now, our soul or our heart is often the problem. The heart is desperate above all things, and it's wicked above all things, and desperately, I'm messing it up. It's desperately wicked, that's what I'm trying to get to. It's what the heart is, deceitful above all things. Just trying to quote it, thank you. Above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? I'm trying to make this, you know, so you're participating tonight, and you're helping me very well. So it's deceitful, who can know it? The heart causes trouble. God wants our heart to be sanctified. God wants our spirit to be sanctified. But do you know where the most trouble comes from? Our body. Because our body is where those lustful desires come. The senses that we have. The desires that we have. But God says, I want your spirit, heart, or soul, and body to be sanctified, preserved, blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. The Bible says this, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." Now what is it? "That ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." Sinful people, that'd be us, naturally desire sinful actions. And in this case, like fornication. That's what we naturally desire. The natural temptation for us, because of our body and because of our wicked heart, is towards sin. We have a natural inclination towards sin, but God says, "I want to sanctify you, and your sanctification is that ye should abstain from fornication." Sinful people desire sinful actions. And sanctification is when God works in us to help us to abstain from sinful actions. Our culture doesn't think that morality is important anymore. Our culture would say that morality is something that belonged several centuries ago. And oftentimes, our culture is saying that the morality is something that belonged in the same era where the Islamic radicalism belonged. It all belonged back there, but now we ought to be free from that. We ought to be free from morality. But God says a sanctification is that, to abstain from fornication. Our culture doesn't like the word abstain. Our culture doesn't think morality is important. But let me give you a thought here. You may have to process this for just a moment. Morality is a result of sanctification. Now, morality doesn't lead to sanctification. If I'm a good person, I'm trying to be a good person, it doesn't make me saved. It doesn't make me more sanctified. But sanctification does lead to morality. If God is working in my life, if God is working in your life to sanctify me, it will lead me to lead a life that is abstaining from fornication and things like that. Just because a person doesn't tell lots of lies doesn't make them saved. Ms. Cheryl, you were the character of Vacation Bible School that lied, right? A lot, if I remember right. I think Fred told a lot of lies. Did he lie too? Fred, sad Sam, but his name was really Fred. What was his last name? Smith. Okay, no wonder I didn't remember. So, Ms. Cheryl, thing one or two? Okay, Ms. Cheryl, thing one had a problem with lying. How many of you remember the story? All right, so she had a problem with lying. I think she's past it. We're working on that still. She took the blue hair off, so I think we're past it. If you remember how that skit went, she got saved, and because she got saved, God changed her so she wasn't telling lies anymore. You know, yes, it was a skit, but this is a true statement. But just because a person doesn't tell lots of lies doesn't make them saved. But a person getting saved will lead them to stop telling lies if they yield to the sanctification process of the Holy Spirit. So sanctification, it's the process. It means to be clean, set apart for God's use and possession. Sanctification is God's solution to man's sinful nature. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verses 26 and 27, that He might sanctify and cleanse it, talking about the church, this would be us, with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. That sounds glorious right there. No spots, no wrinkles. Just think about this. All right, so He wants to present us no spots, no wrinkles. That means no blemishes or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God's plan for you is to present Himself, to present you to Himself and for you to be sanctified. The battle between your flesh and your spirit is the process of sanctification. Do you remember Paul? His battle between the flesh and the spirit, the things that I want to do that I don't do, the things that I ought not to do that I want that I ought to do that I'm doing. And then he said this, "Oh, wretched man that I am." That's the battle. The battle between your spirit and your flesh is a battle of sanctification. It's the process of sanctification. God wants you to be presentable to Himself. One of these days, He's coming back for His church. Now, who's that? That's us. And if He comes back for His church, He wants you to be presentable. How many of you remember your mom trying to make you presentable as you left the restaurant? Or I'm picturing a restaurant here because I've seen this. I've probably experienced it. I just don't remember it in detail. But I've seen it, all right? So you're leaving the restaurant. One of the kids has dirty face because they ketchup or whatever on their face. How many of you were this kid, and your mom dipped her napkin into ice-cold water and decided to give you a sponge bath right there on the way out and wash your face on the way out? What's she trying to do? She's trying to make you presentable. And you know, that's what God's trying to do. The process of sanctification is God saying, I want to make you presentable so that whenever I come and we are together and I take you to myself, you are presentable, that He may present you to Himself, that He may present it, the church, to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So sanctification It means to be clean, set apart for God's use and possession. It's God's solution to man's sinful nature. And sanctification is a process. Sanctification is a process. Now, I want you to understand something very, very clearly. Salvation is not a process. Salvation, the moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you got saved, your sins were forgiven, they're separated from you as far as the east is from the west. God does not see them. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore from the book of the life. They've all been cast out. I don't remember them anymore, or something like that. All right. Salvation is instant, but sanctification is a process. 2 Peter 3:18, the Bible says, but grow in grace. You never grow instantly. The only thing instant is like instant mashed potatoes, instant coffee. So far, it's not sounding so good. But if something takes the time, and God says, I want you to grow in grace. It's not something that happens overnight. It's not something that when you get saved, all of a sudden, you're a wonderful Christian. No, it takes a lifetime to get to where God wants you to be. Sanctification is a process, but growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we get to know God more, as we get to know our Savior more, we become more sanctified. And there's more to that process, but that's a huge part of it. Salvation is not a process, but sanctification is. Salvation happens instantly, but sanctification takes a lifetime. I will speak by testimony. It has taken my entire Christian life for me to develop the lifestyle I live. And I think every one of us could say the same thing. It's taken my entire Christian life. I need to be patient with somebody else that may not have been saved or had the same situation that I've had. Let's just be patient with other people. Sanctification is a process. It takes time. Don't lose patience with somebody else just because they're not where you think they are or where you are or where they ought to be. Be patient with them. And then I'd also like to say this, be patient with yourself. Sanctification is a process. It takes time. One of the things that I struggle with patience sometimes. As we started our church and we started in the school, our first Sunday night service, there was just if I said a handful, I might be exaggerating. It was just so small. And the early days, and just wanting, I would just wish there were more people, and even now, wanting to reach more people and do more. Sometimes the thing I struggle with the most is patience, realizing that sometimes it just takes time. I remember Joshua was about 6 years old. I don't know if you remember this, but he was about 6 years old. He wanted to be in the youth group. He wanted to go on a youth activity. I said, Josh, you can when you're 12. I said, it's only 6 years away. He looked at me, he's like, that's an entire lifetime. I mean, he's only 6 years old. And yes, it was. So be patient with other people. Sanctification is a process. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, you know these verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What is that talking about? It's talking about sanctification, laying aside weight, laying aside sin, and running with patience the race that's set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. As I read this and I was thinking about this, do you remember the movie The Black Stallion? Cool movie. If you're a horse lover, you had to watch it. Black Beauty, not so much. I fell asleep watching that one. But Black Stallion, this wild horse, he runs around this island or whatever it is, and this kid finds him and brings him back, if you remember the story. It's really old, so if you don't know the whole story, I'm just going to spoil it for you. Anyway, it's your fault. You haven't seen it yet. All right. But they enter him in this race, and he's racing, and it's I think it's the final race of the movie, if I remember right. And he's got all this costume on. He's got this helmet on, and the kid that's riding him, he's got this huge wonderful costume on, and everybody's looking at him saying, whoa, what an amazing entry into this race, and this must be an amazing horse. And the horse has this horse robe or something like that. And the kid riding him, he's got this helmet and all this cool stuff, and if I remember, there's feathers or something coming out the top. And they start running this race, and they're losing. This championship horse ought to be winning this race. And somewhere along this race, he realizes the problem here is all this extra stuff, all this weight. And as he's running the race, he's getting rid of the different things that are slowing him down. And that is the sanctification process. As you run the race, God reveals those things to you that are the weights and the sins that are besetting us. And as you run the race, you get rid of those things to help you run the race better. Now, look, don't try to get rid of everything before you start running the race. Just start running the race. That's life. You've got to run the race. You've got to grow. And that growth process will reveal more and more that needs to come off so that you can run the race better. This morning, I mentioned this. The process of sanctification is like an iceberg. The iceberg is about 90% underwater. You don't see most of it. Only a little piece of it comes up above the water. And I realize why that's the case. Why so much under the water? Because the glacier ice has so much weight above it that it's packed down so very dense. There's very little oxygen in that ice, so it floats very low in the water. Only a very small amount of it shows. And as that little amount shows above the water, the sun shines on it, and it melts, and it goes away, but more ice comes up and replaces it. And as that melts off, more ice comes up. That melts off, more ice comes up. And that is the process of sanctification. As God shows us what needs to be removed from our life and what sin and what weight we need to just to let go and remove because it's besetting us, we'll keep running our race and we realize there's more. And what you're going to find out through your entire life, you got saved and you may have got rid of some things that were just very obviously wrong. And because you found out they were wrong, you started going to church, you started reading your Bible, you got rid of some of those things. Then you thought, this is great, I'm good now. But then God shows you more. And you get rid of that, and then you think, great, I'm good now. And then God reveals more. And the Christian life is just constantly, constantly growing, constantly allowing God to change you, allowing God to remove some of those things from you that don't belong in your life. But there's always going to be more until we stand face to face with our Savior. One day we will be able to do this. Sanctification is a process. Let me give you some elements of sanctification. Elements of sanctification. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. We read this. It was our starting text. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. These are these building blocks. Now, you've got to have faith to begin with. You can't just decide, okay, I'm going to have brotherly kindness and charity, and I'm just going to unconditionally love everybody. You can't do that without faith in God. God is love. You've got to have the right foundation. But if you will build on that foundation, you can have faith. That is, trusting God enough to obey Him. You can have virtue, the purifying of our motives and our morals. You can have knowledge, in this particular knowledge of God and learning about God through His Word. And temperance, which would be developing self-control, not just self-control, but spirit control, where God controls us in all of our areas of life. You can develop patience. You ever wished you had more patience because you lost your temper at somebody? I have. I've done that a lot. And I've wished that I had more patience. Well, that's one of those things that God grows you and He develops, but it takes time and it takes growth. Godliness would be responding to all events in a Christ-like manner. Don't we all wish that we all had that just a bit more? That's one of those things that we have to grow. We have to allow God to grow us. Brotherly kindness would be treating others as Jesus would. Charity, being motivated to serve God and others with unconditional love. You don't just get saved and have it. I always wished I could snap louder for emphasis. I can't. I'm a sissy snapper, all right? That's all you're going to get. But I tried, all right? You don't just get it instantly. It's growth. It takes time. It's going to take a lifetime to become the person that God wants you to be. But if you allow Him to work in your life, if you'll yield to the sanctification process, it will happen a lot faster than if you fight it. Okay, how are we sanctified? How are we sanctified? We got to move quickly. We got a few things more we got to give you. How are we sanctified? First of all, by His Word. How are we sanctified? By the Word of God. There's several verses. I'll give them to you quickly. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Psalm 119:9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's the question. The answer is by taking heed thereto according to thy word. How am I going to cleanse my way? That's the process of sanctification. Remember, to be cleansed and used for God's work. By taking heed to God's word. Hebrews 14:12. The Bible says, for the word of God is quick, that means alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Because the Word of God can discern our thoughts and our intents, that is a huge the tool for sanctification. How are we sanctified? By His Word and by our relationship with Jesus Christ. Your relationship with Jesus Christ will determine how you are sanctified. It will determine this process for you. Whenever I was probably 9th grade or 10th grade, I entered a Bible memorization contest, and we memorized John 14 and 15. I'm so glad I memorized those two chapters. John 15 is about the relationship of a Christian with Jesus Christ. When you get a chance, you can look at that. I'm going to read one verse, John 15:5. The Bible says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. How are we sanctified? A relationship with Jesus Christ. If you develop a real relationship with Jesus Christ, the rest of the Christian life will fall into place. I've said it so many times. I've tried to teach it and preach it. But if you can get that one truth, this one thing, the rest of this message was understanding what sanctification is. This is how. I don't want to just know that I need to do it. I want to know how. Well, first, I'm going to spend time in His Word because His Word sanctifies. But second, I've got to develop a real live relationship with Jesus Christ. I would say this. I believe most Christians do not have a good relationship with Jesus Christ. We say we do. If you were to ask kids in the Sunday school, maybe first or second grade kids, who's your best friend? And they'd all go like this, because that's how they do it. And they'd say, me. And they would say, Jesus is my best friend. Because that's the answer they're supposed to give. But is He? I mean, really, what is your relationship with Jesus Christ like? That relationship will do more to change you to who you need to be than anything else you can do. That relationship with Jesus Christ, it has to do with spending time in His Word. You can see that these are all related. And by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. How are we sanctified? By the Word of God, our relationship with Jesus Christ, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Bible says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? This verse, every time we read it, it ought to just amaze us beyond any other amazement we've ever been amazed by. I used amazed 3 times in one sentence. You try that. Okay, now listen. God lives in you. Now, we read it a lot, and we say it a lot, and it's part of a lot of verses, but just stop and think. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. God is in you right now. 2 Corinthians 3:18, you're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the God of God can change you. He wants to change you. God wants to live in a temple that is holy, that is clean, that is pure. God wants to live in a temple that is sanctified, set apart, and clean for His use. I want to live in a house that's clean. You probably do. We sprayed a whole bunch to get rid of a bunch of bugs that are in our house. Why? Because we want to live in a clean house. Last night, I spent time cleaning out our pantry to chase the mouse out that had run into our pantry. Why? We want to live in a clean house. I took our fireplace apart to get rid of the lizard that had run and hid under the fireplace. Why? We want to live in a clean house. Don't you think the Holy Spirit of God would want to live in a clean house? That is why sanctification is important. The Spirit of God, if you will yield to the Holy Spirit's work in your life, He will absolutely change you, not just on the inside, but on the outside. He will change how you respond to other people in your life. I remember one of the statements that I learned that I think is just a great statement. Everybody should know it. Here it is. Is that thunder? Here it is. Ready the statement. Come back here. Don't let a jerk ruin your life. It's a great statement. I tell that to girls that are thinking about dating a jerk, all right? Don't let a jerk ruin your life. The Holy Spirit will change how you respond to the influences of your life. Now, let me share that verse with you. It's Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's how you respond. I can respond in love no matter what happens. Joy. I can respond with joy no matter what happens. Peace. I can respond in peace, not worry, no matter what happens around me. Long-suffering. That would be patience. A lot of times people would say that's the same thing. I can respond with gentleness no matter what goes on. I can respond with goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. I can control myself no matter what anybody else does, but I can't do that by myself. I promise you, I do not have temperance on my own. There was a kid in school named Jason. He bothered me so bad. We were eating lunch one time. I picked up the mustard container and threw it at him as hard as I could. That was really dumb because I had to clean up the mustard. I missed him, which was really a shame. But I realized something. I can't control myself. You can't control yourself. I mean, we can to a point, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God living in you, first of all, by salvation, and you're not yielded to His work in you through sanctification, you are going to have a very difficult time controlling yourself or any of these other things that only God can work through us. What are the Christian's responsibilities in sanctification? Very quickly, trust God's purpose and role in this process, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He will keep doing it. We have got to trust God. Sometimes the sanctification process allows God to bring hard times into our lives to make us who we need to be, to form us, to shape us, and we just need to trust God, say, okay, God, I'm going to trust You. Do You understand? You know what's going on, and You're going to, as Job said, when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. You will purify me through this process. Trust God, its purpose and role in this process. The Bible says in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of His good pleasure. There's 3 points. I don't have time to go into all the details here. What are our responsibilities in sanctification? Trust God's purpose and role in the process. Exercise godliness. Exercise godliness. The outline's in there for you. You can look up these verses. They're excellent. I looked them up. I put them in the outline. I just don't have time to give them to you tonight. Put off unrighteous behavior and put on righteous behavior. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. There's a list of things we should put off and a list of things we should put on. How can I? What's my responsibility? Trust God, exercise godliness, and then cleanse ourselves. Cleanse ourselves. 2 Corinthians 7:1, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Avoid sins of immorality and pursue moral purity. And then there's some rewards. I'll give them to you real quick so you can finish filling this out. What rewards does sanctification provide? First of all, productive lives that display faithfulness and fruitfulness. Productive lives that display faithfulness and fruitfulness. If I will allow God to sanctify me, I can have a productive life that is a faithful life and a fruitful life. You've got a whole bunch of thoughts there under that. You can look at them a little bit later. What is one of the rewards? Earthly and heavenly rewards. Earthly and heavenly rewards. 1 Timothy 4:8, the Bible says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. It does profit some, but in the grand scheme of things, it's pretty small. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Godliness. Look, a promise for the life that now is, if I live a godly life, and a promise of that which is to come. Godly living. Some people say it really doesn't matter. God looks on the heart, so it really doesn't matter. Well, it absolutely does matter. It matters to God. He wants you to live the way, in a way that demonstrates His sanctification in your life. One more verse, Matthew 16, 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. We will be rewarded based on how we allow God to work in our lives. And that's the process of sanctification. Father, I pray that You would use this message tonight, partly just to help us to understand it better, but also to challenge us to not only just live, but to live in a way that pleases You, to strive to please You, to make an effort to grow closer to You, to spend time in Your Word, to develop a relationship with Your Son, and to allow Your Spirit to work in us. Father, please do a great work in our church and in our city.